Well, Emmanuel, God with us, we are amazed that you became one of us and were born in a little box in a manger. It still astounds us when we stop to think about it. When we really, really stop to think about it. And we thank you for that, and we love you for that. And we would hope that we would anticipate Jesus in our hearts every day, that we would take him with us everywhere and every day. And that as we remember, as this child grew up and just anticipating what he became, the time that he spent away from his parents in the temple, the time that he changed the water to wine, the time that he would reach out to those that were sick and were hurting, and would take clay and put them on the eyes of the blind man to restore his sight. And he would feel the touch that came from the woman who was reaching out for him, for his patience with little children. And we remember him saying things like, "Peace be to you." Things like, "Father, forgive them." Things like, "Go and tell others about me." Things like, "Remember me." Things like, "I will never leave you." And for that, we give you thanks on this fourth day of Christmas. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And through the world was made through him. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It was Christmas afternoon, 2014, and Heather was packing away Christmas. And as she was taking down the wreaths and undecorating the Christmas tree, she was having a conversation with her family. Although they had been out of the house for hours, she had been talking to them the entire time. Couldn't they see her hurt? Didn't they know how much they had hurt her feelings? Didn't they know how important this Christmas of all Christmas, had been to her? A Christmas that she had been planning in her mind really ever since she'd been married, but particularly since earlier that year when her husband Jim had gotten a promotion at work, and she had finally been able to quit the job, which she just could not stand, so that she could be a stay-at-home mother for her two boys as they were getting older now. She had been planning for this Christmas, and she had done everything. She had not left one detail unattended. It began with the decorations. Her house had looked like a page out of Southern Living Magazine Christmas edition. Every nook and cranny had a holly and candles and garland. It was beautiful. She had spent all that she, time that she could in making sure that each one of her two children and her husband got exactly what they would want for Christmas. And she had had to spend much time on the internet researching and finding and ordering until she was able to make sure that every perfect thing would be under the tree. And all during the Christmas, she tried to do things that would lead up to it that would make it extra special for them. She had been the room mother at school, working hard to make sure that the Christmas party that they would have would be the best one yet. At church, she had worked with the youth choir program and had sold all the costumes and had been there to help guide and be the stage director for that. And for her husband, for his office, she had hosted a sit-down Christmas dinner party at her house for 18 people. And she had cooked all of the food and done it all of herself. But leading up to Christmas, this was going to be the Christmas. This was going to be the most special, most spectacular Christmas in their memory. Not like those Christmases when she was a little girl, where her mother, who had been a working mom, trying to raise two daughters. Money had been tight, and Christmases sometimes had been pretty sparse. She remembered one particular Christmas when it wasn't even a Christmas tree until Christmas Eve, and then one that was bought off of some lot somewhere, the last Christmas tree, kind of looked like the tree from Charlie Brown's Christmas. A Christmas tree that had then stayed up well past Valentine's Day. How embarrassing that had been. It wasn't like the homes of her friends. It seemed like every single one of her friends had stay-at-home mothers who would dote on them and take care of all the details, not like her home. She'd been painfully aware of how she was different. But this wasn't going to be for her kids. This wasn't going to be for her husband. And so she had worked painlessly to take care of every detail. And she had imagined this Christmas morning, and they would wake up, and they would come down, and they would see the lovely tree, and maybe they would play some Christmas music, and they would all sit there and sip hot chocolate and coffee together. And then they would open up the presents, and everyone would ooh and ah as they took time to see what care she had taken and making sure everyone got everything that they need. And then they would sit down to a breakfast, a beautiful breakfast with holiday eggs and all the trimmings that she loved to make. And so she waited on Christmas morning till about 9:30, and her kids, two teenage boys, had to be roused out of bed, and they came down sleepily and a little bit annoyed. They tore into their Christmas packages all at the same time, said nothing, and then they ate breakfast in about 5 minutes flat. Even her husband, she was disgusted. And then one by one, they made their exits. Her smallest kid, Will, had decided to go down the street to play video games with a friend. Her oldest son, Trey, had gone to his girlfriend's as usual, and even her husband had made his apologies to go off and watch football with his brother. And so there she was in her house all alone on Christmas afternoon. And she was miserable. And even though it had been their tradition to take down the Christmas decorations on New Year's afternoon, she just said, what the use, and decided to go ahead and pack it away on Christmas afternoon. And so she first of all worked on the mantelpiece. She took off down all the holly, all the candles, and then she started on the tree, first taking down all of the ornaments that she had collected over the years until she saw them. Until she saw them. Baby booties. Baby booties. Baby booties from their first Christmas when Trey had been born. It had been a hard Christmas. She had had a hard pregnancy. In fact, she had had to spend the last month bedridden. It was a miracle. And when that little boy was born and they took him home that Christmas, even though they had much, they had each other. And it had been a wonderful, magical Christmas. And she looked back, she thought, why can't all Christmases be like that Christmas was? When we could really see one another for who we were and appreciate one another and take the time just to be with one another. She had taken those little baby booties from Trey's first Christmas and made it into a little keepsake ornament of her own. And then she stood there thinking to herself and holding those booties into her hand. She looked at them for a long, long time. And she thought, how did Trey's size 12 foot ever fit inside of these booties? How could that have been? And then she began to cry. How she loved that boy and those big old size 12 feet. And then she stood there a little longer looking at that, and she thought to herself, was Christmas ever this small? The baby Jesus could have worn these booties. And his little toes, little toenails and fingernails and little bright eyes shining up, the little vulnerable baby. Could Christmas have ever been that small? And then she thought to herself, oh God, how could I have done this? How could I have missed it? I have tried to make Christmas so big, so complicated, that I almost missed it. It's not this huge, complicated thing. It's something that's small and vulnerable that can be held in our hands. And if we're not careful, we miss it. This moment, she heard the door open. It was Trey coming back in. And she said, well, Trey, surprised to see you back. And she said, oh, yeah, my girlfriend Jill, all they wanted to do was talk about girl stuff with her mom. And so I just got bored and decided I'd come back over here. I kind of like being in. Wait, what happened? Mom, what are you doing? Why are you taking down all the Christmas stuff? It's not New Year's. She said, well, I just thought that y'all hadn't noticed. Noticed that this is my favorite thing about Christmas, is to come here and see the decorations, to see the tree. And her mom said, well, I guess we could put the decorations back up if you want to. Would you help me? He said, sure. She said, are those my booties? And he said, yeah. She says, you know, that's my favorite ornament that you put on the tree. I don't ever say it, but it is. I love seeing those ornaments. And I love hearing you telling the story about my first Christmas. Could you tell me that story again? And Mom said, Trey, I've told you that story 14, 15 times. You've heard that story forever. You sure you want to hear it again? She said, yeah. Hearing the story again and again is what makes Christmas come alive for me. And so they sat there into that afternoon, the mother and the son, and she told of the first Christmas But the little baby boy, the tiny little feet and tiny little toes, and baby booties. Folks, it happens every Christmas. This a wonderment that we sometimes call the incarnation. And we wonder, how could that be? How could it be? How could God put on flesh and dwell among us? Where's my Turner? Back to this verse. How can the Word become flesh and dwell among us? How can that be? How can God become man in the crying little baby, the diapers that need to be changed and needs to be fed and cared for? How can that be? And as we said before, it's the wrong question. The one question is not how can that be, but who is that? Who is God in Christ? And God in Christ is the one that hears all of the hurt, hears the disappointments of mothers who work too hard trying to get everything perfect, or people that struggle at Christmas because they're apart from their loved ones, people who don't quite get Christmas because they've gotten sucked into the commercialization of it, and for them it's just another hassle. God, who is with those who come on Christmas Eve, receive Holy Communion, and enter that sacred moment. God, who is with us in our most vulnerable and most difficult parts of our life. God, who is with us in our highest and most sacred places in our life. That God who enters into human existence and pulls it all together and works it out for redemption and hope. That is the God of Christmas. Sometimes we get so busy that we almost miss it. I hope for you that you've had a moment this Christmas season. Maybe it was just a song or a smell. Maybe it was an ornament that brought back a memory. Maybe it was sitting in this room singing a carol. Whatever it was, I hope that you have had a holy moment of God with us that will remind you and sustain you throughout this next year that there is a God who also never leaves us, and a God that calls us into the holy business of going and shouting from a mountaintop that He is alive and that He loves you and this world. And may the hope that was born on that holy night multiply throughout this coming year. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. God, we are thankful for all the seasons of the year. And Christmas has, for all that we complain about it, for all of its commercialization, for all of the happy holidays and political correctness, for all of it, oh God, it bears witness to the fact that 2,000 years ago, that history was split in half in a little manger out in the back of an inn with a scared young couple, when angels sang and shepherds visited, and Christmas was small and vulnerable then, but the light came into the world, and the light shines in the darkness. And we pray, oh God, that even as we see these candles around us, that we will multiply that light this year and bring others into the good, good news that Christ is born. Christ is born. Hallelujah. Amen.